Good afternoon. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. So glad we could worship together this afternoon. I think it's afternoon. I don't know. We're so glad we could be here. It's so nice out. If it wasn't for the wind, it would be a perfect day. Thank you for coming to worship instead of enjoying the weather. Although you can still do that. There's plenty of time. You may have noticed, if you look very closely at the bulletin, that there's no offering listed there. That's because we are going to collect the offering during the hymn after the message, okay? So, just so you know, to be ready for that if you would like to give. So, we are on these Wednesdays during Lent. Our theme is cultivating and letting go. So if you were here last week, you might remember that we talked about letting go of busyness and cultivating calm by cultivating rest, cultivating quiet time with God, and cultivating thankfulness. So I'm just curious, it's been a week. How's that going? I see mixed reviews. I see some heads going like this, and I see a lot of people going, I don't know. Well, it's cultivating, right? We're Iowans. We know about cultivating. It's growing stuff. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. So keep at it. It's doing things that eventually will yield fruit. Tonight, we're talking about letting go of fear, and so that we can cultivate trust or confidence in God. What's your biggest fear? Well, a YouTube channel that calls themselves Cut asked 100 people that very question, and here are some of the answers they got.
I'm scared of fruit at the bottom yogurt. I'm scared of bees. I'm scared of stepping on slugs.
Thunder and lightning.
Really distant outer space.
Getting shot.
Cats.
Adult sloths creep me out.
Well, I don't like failing at anything.
Probably failure.
Disappointing my mom.
Not being successful.
Not being happy.
Being stagnant.
Being mediocre.
Being boring.
No one finding me interesting.
Being embarrassed.
Fear of rejection, for sure.
Disappointing people.
Myself.
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 People talking behind my back.
I'm afraid of getting bullied.
I think the biggest thing I'm afraid of is letting my OCD get to me.
Forgetting.
When I try to think about infinity, it actually causes a certain reaction inside. Like I get short of breath.
New things are pretty scary, but also being homeless.
Being poor.
And having nowhere to live.
Losing my family. Especially my little brother. I have nightmares about that. Don't ever leave me, bro. I love you.
My grandpa and grandma die at the same time.
What am I afraid of? Losing my family.
Losing someone that I love.
Other than commitment,
thinking about kids and marriage, it all scares me.
Anything bad happening to my daughter.
I can barely breathe when I think about losing one of my kids.
Being alone.
Like, if no one else was on the planet.
Not having someone to really love, to spend my entire life with.
Being forgotten.
Strangers.
You never really know what they're capable of.
Someone showing up and going after you.
Being attacked by people or being hurt.
When there's like too many people in a room.
Dense crowds.
Small spaces.
Not being able to see this far in front of my face is not okay.
It's like sensory deprivation, pitch black.
I'm afraid of the unknown.
Zombies. I don't like demons or like anything spiritual.
A devil.
Ghosts.
I was trying to sleep and then I hear something move and I'm like, whoa.
Snakes, maybe?
Spiders?
Spiders.
Being stung.
Oh, right now it's gotta be flying.
Moment that plane is in the air, I am terrified of hitting the ground.
I have a fear of heights.
Falling.
The freeway.
Traffic and car accidents.
Earthquake.
Being buried alive.
So I always think about like stashing water underneath my desk in case the house falls down.
I don't wanna be on fire.
Not a fan of water.
The ocean, because it's like space, but on Earth.
Sharks.
Sharks.
Drowning.
Drowning.
I'm like afraid of dying without having ever really lived.
Growing old.
Death?
Death.
Dying.
Dying.
Without having to live my best life, I guess.
That we're not living in a simulation, and this is real.
I have a special announcement. this is not a test. This is not a rehearsal. This is not a simulation. This is your life. Don't stop living it because you're afraid. All right, stand, turn, greet your neighbors, and say to them, boo. I invite you to remain standing and join me for the call to worship printed in the bulletin. Eternal God, you are our hope in times of trouble.
Let us trust in you.
Life is stronger than death. Light is stronger than darkness. When we're lost in grief, call us to firmer faith in the midst of our worries. You are our refuge and our strength. Because you are our God. And we sing our opening hymn number 618. 618. And please join me in the prayer printed in the bulletin. Gracious God, you know our fears and our worries, but we ask you, the creator of galaxies and the maker of the sun and the moon, to whisper your strength into our hearts and your peace into our minds. Cast out our fears with your perfect love. Amen. And you may be seated for the readings. Our first reading for this afternoon is recorded in the first chapter of Paul's second letter to Timothy. Paul writes, "For the Spirit of the Lord is not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." and a reading from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in our first reading, we have the Apostle Paul. He's getting to the end of his life. He's in prison in Rome, and he writes a letter to his young friend Timothy, and he tells him that above all else, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, no matter what happens. Trust in God. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus is actually at the Last Supper. He's gathered with his disciples. He's close to his death, knowing what's about to come. Still, he says to his disciples, no matter what, don't be afraid. So for both Paul and Jesus, one of the marks of being a godly person, one of the big signs that you are a disciple of Christ, is the ability to let go of fear and to trust God no matter what. Well, that's sometimes easier said than done, right? How do we just let go of fear? Well, here are Tommy and Eddie with a few tips for us.
Tommy and Eddie, the Skit Guys, here to help you to conquer your fear with 5 tips.
That's right. Number 5, acknowledge your fear. Write it down. Get it out there.
Oh, do that, Tommy. Do that. That's a great idea, okay? Here's the thing. When you write down your fear, it kind of helps just squelch the fear. Tommy is going to show you right now that we all have this in common. We all have fears. This is Tommy's number one fear.
This is my number one fear. I've seen it happen to people, and it's tragic. I can't imagine what it would be like to...
Really?
So much skin.
Number 4, realize that most of your fears don't even come true.
Yours did.
This isn't a fear.
Looks like it should have been.
When it comes to those fears, they don't really ever come true. Like, some people have a fear of garden gnomes coming alive in the middle of the night and destroying you.
What?
Yes, a bunch of people fear that.
I don't think so.
It's a legitimate fear.
Those little statues in people's yards.
Those evil statues in people's yards.
Oh, this is your fear. You're afraid of...
No,
you're afraid of garden gnomes.
I'm not.
Yes,
no,
you
I'm
are.
Not. I'm not.
Look
not
at
me.
You.
No. Okay. Moving on. Number 3, do the thing you fear.
Yes. Like, stay the night in a yard filled with garden gnomes. No, it really is a good idea to do what you fear. In fact, Winston Churchill said, do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain.
No, Winston Churchill didn't say that.
Hmm?
Emerson said that.
What?
Ralph Waldo Emerson said, do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain.
How do you gnome that?
Well, I had a college class on, and there was a, did you just say, how do I gnome that?
Yep.
Okay, you know what I'm curious about? I'm curious what it would look like if I shaved your head.
It's not funny.
I'm not laughing.
Number 2, be curious.
Yeah, because when you're curious, you're not focusing on your fear. You're squelching your fear. You're opening the door for God's wonder. Curiosity does that.
Yeah, and you'll also find that curiosity did not kill the cat. It was that creepy kid across the street. There's someone to be afraid of.
You don't even be afraid of him. Because the number one way to conquer your fear is to trust in God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit of the Lord is not of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind.
Yep. In fact, I got you a little keepsake to help you remember that.
Thanks, buddy. That's what I like about this guy. He's always thinking of other people. So there you have it, friends. Go out there. Conquer your fear. Make that bucket list of things that you want to do and know that God is on your side, because there is nothing that you have to be afraid of.
All right. So, starting with their list, number 5, write it down. Get it out. So it just so happens that the last page of your bulletin, the back cover, is completely blank. Why don't you pull that out, if you would? Grab one of those pew pencils. Go ahead and write down what you're afraid of. I'll give you 15 seconds. Go. Time's up. You don't have to write it down, but I just find the older I get, it is getting harder and harder to remember things unless I write it down. So here's the thing. It's important to get it out, to let it out, to at least write it down, or if you have the opportunity, if you feel like you can, tell it to somebody else. Because the thing is, the longer that fear stays inside of you, the more likely it is to grow and to take more and more control of your life. So on our recent trip out to Colorado, on the way back home, we stopped in Omaha and we saw a friend of ours, Todd Sears. I'm assuming you can tell which one is Todd. We saw Todd and his wife, Brenna, wasn't there. She was out of town, but he took care of us anyway for the night. And we remembered something that had happened. You see, Brenna and I used to work together at one of the churches that I served. She was our music director, and she was our graphic designer. So she did the music, she did all the bulletins. And so she was intimately involved in the worship services. And so she would often show up early on Sunday morning, although not as early as I did. And one Sunday morning, it's just like something happened that I was really in a tizzy about, and I was worried and afraid of how the service was going to go and what was going to happen that day. And by the time Brenna got there, she saw me in a tizzy, and she said, "What's up? What's going on?" And so I said, "Oh, this happened, and then this happened," and I told her all about it, and she looked at me, and she said, "Oh, so it's not really a big deal then." I was so shocked that she said that to me that I laughed, because I realized she was exactly right. It wasn't a big deal. In my head, it was a huge big deal. But when I said it out loud, it was really silly, obviously to her and even to me. And so it turned into a laugh, something we still laugh about almost a decade later. So here's the thing. This is part of why God gave us to each other. We have the ability to set each other free from our fear. Just by listening, just by letting people talk about it, to get it out and to weaken that fear and not let it take over. But people probably aren't going to tell us about their fears unless we stop and care and say, "What's up? How's it going?" Right? So take out your pencil. Write down one or two names of people that you can stop and honestly ask this week, "What's up? How's it going?" You got 15 seconds. I love that chime. Number 4, realize most fears don't come true. This is a hard one, because some of our fears do come true, right? And sometimes our worst fears come true. And if that's happened to you, I am so honestly sorry. So sorry. But all of our fears don't actually come true. In fact, life is really more like this, that most of our fears don't happen, and occasionally one does, but we have a temptation sometimes to live as though every fear is going to happen. And that has a tendency to suck the joy out of our lives. It has a tendency to make us want to hide. The thing is, why ruin today over something that may never happen tomorrow? Winston Churchill said, and he actually did say this, Winston Churchill said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened." Take out your pencil. Write down something you worry about that has never happened. Next time you feel like everything bad is happening, look at this list and remember, well, at least that never happened. Number three, do the thing you fear. When I look at the Bible, I think about how David faced his fear and he stood up to Goliath and he saved the Israelite army. About Queen Esther, who faced her fear and who went to King Mordecai and ended up saving her people. I think about Ananias, who faced his fear and who went and laid healing hands on the persecutor of the Christian church. And yet, because he did that, the Apostle Paul was saved. And I think about Jesus, who on the night in which he was betrayed, he went to the garden and he prayed. He prayed so hard, the Bible says he sweat blood. And yet, he didn't let fear stop him. He did what God needed him to do, and he ended up saving all of us. The Bible is full of stories of amazing things that God did through people that did the thing they fear. What about you? What about you? What's something that you have been afraid to do that if you do it, God might be able to do something good through you? Write it down quick. You got 15 seconds. Number two, be curious. It takes your mind off of your fears. We have an amazing, wonderful, incredible world that God has made and that we get to be a part of. And when I think about this one, I think about my friend Bill in Wisconsin. I don't have a picture of Bill, but I can tell you about him. Bill has had brain cancer twice. He's had brain surgery twice. He's had a couple of strokes. He struggles with seizures. He's permanently disabled. And he has the best attitude of anybody you would ever meet. And Bill keeps his mind off of his fears by being interested in people. He doesn't get out very often, so he loves going to his doctor's appointments because he gives the doctor a hard time. He loves to talk to the nurses. He talks to the people in the waiting room. He loves to find out about them and their stories, and he's always trying to make them laugh. And he doesn't get to go as often as he did, but Bill loves to go to church because he tells me every time he goes to church, he discovers something about his faith he didn't know before. It helps keep the fears away, focusing on something else. What about you? What fills you with wonder? What's something that you're curious about that you'd like to know more about? Write it down. You got 15 seconds. And finally, the number one most important tip for fighting fear is to trust God. Trust the God who loves you. There's a Chinese proverb that says that the birds of worry and care fly over your head, this you cannot change. But that they build nests in your hair, this you can prevent. Fears are going to come. Things are going to happen. We're going to have worries, but we don't have to let that fear hang around. Right? We don't have to let it build a home in us, make a nest in our hair. Every single day, we have a choice between whether we're going to let fear win or whether we're going to let faith win. And even if we do choose faith, bad things are still going to happen sometimes. It's just life. But even though bad things happen, we have faith because we know that God and God's people will be there to help us get through it. And even when the worst happens, the big one, death, even then, we don't have to be afraid because Jesus did the thing he was afraid of so that we can say to each other, don't be afraid. This isn't the end. Death has been defeated. Don't take out your pencil. Put your pencil away. And please join me in prayer. Lord God, you have made such an amazing, wondrous, incredible world. We thank you, and we confess that sometimes we forget how amazing it is because we get so focused on our fears. Lord, you know the things that hold us back from living the life that you want for us, and we want to let go of those fears, and so we trust you, and we give those fears over to you as we name them to you silently now. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can remain seated as we sing our next hymn, number 802, and we will collect the offering as we do that. And let's stand. And I invite you to join me as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? God is doing a new thing in you, even if you can't yet perceive it. So go out into the world, letting go, so that something new can be cultivated in you. God is doing a new thing. Amen. We sing our sending hymn number 325.